The last day of 2023. As I think about a new year, I like to condense what I see coming in the new year into one word or one phrase or theme. Words like cast vision, make disciples. My word for 2023 was the word launch. Launch. That was my word for 2023, and I had some specifics built into that. I wanted to have launched a course builder and a church community builder, which we did find. Of course, I wanted to have our new building launched, which we were able to launch that in July 16th of this year. So I'm very thankful for that, that their building was complete and we own this building now in the arrangement that we have, debt-free. So very thankful for that. Wanted to finish my courses, deep healing course, and is able to launch that. Launched my sexual purity course, and that was launched December 16th of this year. So I'm very thankful to have that launched. And then launch Heritage 5.0. And I talked about Heritage 5.0, if you remember this year. And so that's being launched right now as we go through different phases of church growth and life and the new opportunities that God has for us. So that's kind of as I think through the year 2023. My great testimony would be for God in his sustaining grace. So as I think back in 2023, the Lord definitely sustained us. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for sustaining my wife as she battles with cancer and seems to be making some headway there. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that she went through a hard miscarriage and came through well. So that was a tough trial for our family. But just a lot of things that I'm thankful for in this year. I thank God for all of you who persevered through many trials and temptations in 2023 and are emerging this year with an even stronger faith and a deeper commitment to love God and to love one another in his body, the church. So as I think of 2023, those are some of my thoughts that I muse on and that I reflect upon. As I consider 2024, the one word that comes to my mind as I think about 2024 is the word ministry. That's the one word that comes to my mind. As I prayerfully consider 2024, it's the word ministry. God has established us, and he placed us here for purpose. And that purpose is to reveal his glory. How we respond to him in 2024 will make all the difference in how we execute that glory and how we experience the blessing in the ministry that he has for us. I believe God has some amazing blessings in store for us in 2024. Amen? God has some amazing blessings in store for us. Blessings in ministry, blessings in our life that God wants to give to us. Now, wouldn't that be something to receive them? That would be something. Or, if we don't receive them, then we'll do nothing. And that's kind of my sermon title this morning, Ministry, Something or Nothing. We just read John 15. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish, and it will be given unto you. By this my Father is glorified, and that you prove to be my disciples. So as we think about 2024, God is holding open to us a door for ministry, a door for fruitfulness, a door for faithfulness, a door to experience his blessing. And he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can do this. I will bear the fruit in you and through you. But if you try to do it on your own, well, without me, you'll do nothing. So wouldn't it be something if we abide in Christ and bear the fruit? We'll either have something at the end of this year, Lord willing, or we'll try to do it on our own and we'll have nothing. What do you think? Something or nothing? As I think about something of God's blessing or nothing without Christ, there are five areas that I am seeking God's blessing for us. And that would be in, number one, and the most important is, our heart's connection to God. Number two would be in our family life, the households. Number three would be in the community, the church. Number four would be in missions, in accomplishing the mission that God has for us. And finally, everything, that's all scripture for all life, the biblical worldview, all things for the glory of Christ. So let's jump into this text now and talk about God's divine purpose for your life in 2024 and for the life of his community, the local church. Turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Bearing fruit to God. Don't waste your life. Do something this year. Abide in Christ. This is the top priority for the believer. What could be more important in 2024 than to abide in Christ? What could be more important than to do something for God? What could be more important than to do his will? It's a contrast between doing something, abiding in him, or doing nothing at all. Worthless. Wasting your time, wasting your life, pursuing a life of vanity by trying to live life in your own strength, in your own way, by your own terms. Without me, you can do nothing. This is the priority. This is God's divine purpose for you, that you would come to him, that you would abide with him. God's purpose for you is that you would connect with him. Wisdom connections. Jesus uses the agricultural analogy to abide. Smaller branches and larger branches. Grapevines connected to the main vine, right? If they are pulled apart, what happens? They die. If the branch is pulled off of the trunk, the branch dies. The trunk doesn't die. The trunk stays alive, right? I am the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So the Father's walking through the vineyard in this analogy, right? Jesus is the vine. He's the trunk. And then there's all the little branches that come out of that trunk, out of that vine. So the main thing here is connection. Connection. If they are connected in the way they're supposed to be, and the Father is making sure everything is connected, if there is a disconnect, there's death. We live in a world that's very connected. We understand this very much. If your phone is not connected to the internet, it's just not going to work. You can try to communicate with people, but it's not going to work. It's not connected. It has to stay connected. If the if your appliance is not plugged into the wall, if it's not connected to the power source, your appliance is not going to work as it's intended. You can try to make toast, but the toast is not going to brown. You can try to use your appliances. You can try to use your beater. You can try to use your washing machine. Nothing will work if it's not connected. So we live in a very connected world in telecommunication and electricity. All these things, they have to be connected. So whether you take the modern word connected, connect, or the agricultural analogy to abide in, it's the same meaning. We need to be connected to God. If we're not connected to God, we will die. We will wither. We will not produce. It won't work. It won't function the way it was intended to function. God's purpose for you this year is to be connected to Him and to live out the power, to live out the communication, to have Him write the software, if you will, in the program of your heart so that you would do and abide in Him and that He would produce His will, His fruit in your life. That's the most important thing this year. Amen? So in the wisdom connections, there's several. I've been talking about the daily connect. I introduced this at our last men's meeting. The daily connect. The purpose of the daily connect is to keep you connected to God each day and all day. It serves as a spiritual anchor, grounding you in your faith by reminding you of the divine presence in your life. The daily connect empowers you to experience continuous spiritual growth. And that's what we need. We need continuous spiritual growth, providing strength in every aspect of your life. It's a reminder that God is always with you, illuminating your path. It bridges the gap between the mundane and the sacred, helping you to align your life with God's purpose and God's will. We all have the same problem. We connect to God, and then we disconnect, and we live our life. And then sometimes we connect back to God, and then we disconnect, and we have this herky-jerky type of experience where we are coming in and out of connection with God, coming in and out of frequency with God, like tuning in the radio or the cell signal that's just not quite powerful enough. Trying to talk to someone when the reception is breaking down, right? What did you say? How many have that experience on a regular basis, right? What did you say? I missed that. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, I still think landlines are better. I never had that happen on my landline. What did you say? Especially if it's trying to communicate something, you know, of any kind of heart level. What was that? Hang on, right? That's kind of how our relationship with God is. We connect with God, you know, we hear, and then it's like we just forget. We lose reception. We lose connection. So this daily connect is to help us to connect and to remove the static, to remove the things that disconnect us from God on purpose every day as a daily part of our connection with God. This process involves giving your full attention to connecting with God. Now, full attention means this is the most important thing. What is more important than your relationship with God? Tell me, what is more important? Nothing. Nothing is more important. And if something is more important, it's called an idol, and it needs to be removed. So we are coming against idolatry here. An idol is something that is more important than God, takes the place of God. Something that you love, something that you believe in, something you find comfort in, something that gives you joy or pleasure or hope or power. Anything can be an idol. So anything that takes you away from connecting with God moment by moment on a daily basis is an idol in your life and needs to be removed. the process of connecting with God, because as I talk to you, most people are getting disconnected from God just because of the daily pressure and rhythm and flow of their life. Some people have some serious idols that they need to disconnect, right? They need to remove and repent of. But most of you are struggling with this, not because of one particular idol. It's like, I just keep going to this idol. Some of you have that, but most of you don't. Most of you, it's just, you know, I just get going in my day, and I just forget about God. I just get distracted is the main word. The main word that keeps you from connecting to God all day is that the main concept is I just get distracted, right? I just get distracted. So the daily connect is a time that you set aside, that you focus your full attention on connecting with God by setting aside time to solely focus on this connection. You will deepen your spiritual awareness of God, and you must be still. Like, you must be still. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I am all for working hard. But when you connect with God in purposed activity, you need to still yourself. You need to be still so you can focus all your attention on God. Like when you plug something in, you have to just, that's what you're doing. And then the power needs to come. You need to focus all your attention on God. And then there's three aspects. There's affirming the connection that God has with you. If I abide in you, that God is saying, when I am connecting with you. So to connect with God, you can't be running the marathon. Now, you need to connect with God when you're running the marathon. You need to connect with God when you're working. You need to connect with God when you get up, when you walk by the way, when you do all these things. But when you wake up in the morning, I suggest doing it first thing, because if you don't do it first thing, when are you going to do it? Oh, I'll do it in the evening. You should do it in the evening. But if you wait till the evening, what happened to your day? Right? Psalm 63 says, early will I seek him. That's early, that's first. Give your first fruits to the Lord. So when I first wake up, I'm focused on connecting with God by setting aside time where I can be still and I can affirm the connection that God has with me. Now, how does God connect with you? Well, that's the gospel, right? So you're affirming the gospel. You're remembering the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, right? And how do you receive that salvation? By working really hard to do good enough so that God can find favor in you? Is that how? So you can't seek the Lord until you've done X, Y, and Z. No, you affirm that salvation by grace. Jesus came and he sought you out and he died for your sin and he rose again, and you receive that by faith. That's by grace. So you affirm this relationship, this connection that God has with you, this salvation that is by grace, this salvation that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you affirm that connection by faith. And you focus on that connection. And you listen to what God has to say for you, to you. You listen to what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. And so you're going to be reading the Bible. If my words abide in you. If you abide in me and my word abides in you. So this connection, God makes his connection real by putting his word in you. So you're meditating on the word and you're reading scripture. I think it's great. I practice reading the whole Bible throughout the whole year. So I like to read the whole Bible in a year. I like to meditate through the Psalms and Proverbs. And I also like to meditate on other passages of scripture that God is teaching me. So right now it's 2 Timothy. So I'll just be reading slowly through 2 Timothy. So, you know, I mean, the whole counsel of God, all of scripture, and then the passages of scripture that God is illuminating to you, be in the word. Okay, so you're going to read the Bible. You're going to affirm it. You're going to write or recite the specific truth that God is illuminating to you. So you have a journal, and you write, you jot down, this really spoke to me. Again, if you're a great journaler, then write more. If you're like me, write a sentence, right? If I write a couple sentences, that's a lot, you know, and that's all I need to do. I've done that. So that's the affirmation. It doesn't have to take a long time. It depends on how much time you have, but you do need to focus. So there's the affirmation, number one. Then there's the reflection. So how many times have you read your Bible and then you get up and you go on your day? That's what we want to keep from happening here. So you're still before the Lord. You're listening. You're reading the Word. That's the Holy Spirit. You're inviting God in to illuminate it. Then you consider. You reflect upon what you read. You reflect upon the issues of your heart. And you consider, what is keeping me from connecting with God? What is going to keep me from connecting with God? And most of the times, you're going to know. Like, you know the trial you're under. You know the temptation you're facing. So you deal with your heart. What is going to keep me from connecting with God? Or what is keeping me? Or what is tempting me? Only one time did I write, I don't know. And then God filled that in for me that day. But most of the time, I'm like, you know what? Right today, I'm dealing with some sadness. I'm very sad. I'm in grief. I'm in mourning because of X, Y, and Z, right? So it may be grief, or I may be tempted, or I may be going really good. I may be tempted to pride this day. But I'm writing that down, and I'm writing what the Word says about it, right? So I'm interacting honestly. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. I'm dealing honestly with my heart, and I'm asking God these questions. And I'm listening to God, and I'm writing down the truth. So I'm affirming the truth. So put off, Paul said in Ephesians 4, renew your mind and put on. This is the renewing of the mind that takes place. This is the step that we often miss. We just read the Bible, and then we disconnect from what God teaches us, and we lean on our own understandings, and we go throughout our day, and then we might pray at a meal, and then maybe reflect again at night. But our day is basically lived in our own strength in a secular manner. We got to not do that. We need to connect with God and stay connected all day long, so we're connecting with our heart, so we're affirming the connection God has with us, and then we're reflecting, we're considering what would keep you from this connection. We're recording any triggers that may be taking place in your life, some triggers that may be triggering bad thoughts, bad attitudes, bad motives, stuff like that. Record them. Write them out. Put off the negative thoughts and put on the truthful thoughts. I was going over this in our men's meeting, and one brother said, yeah, it's kind of like having a counseling session with God. It's like, yeah, right. It's kind of a living relationship. This is a living relationship that we have with God at a heart level. So as you affirm God's connection with you, as you consider these things, and then you reflect upon what you've learned. Again, if you have more time, use it. But you do need to spend a few minutes in reflecting now. Writing and reflecting upon what God is teaching you, what God is showing you. And He'll always teach you something because His Spirit anoints you, right? So honor the lessons that God is teaching you. Honor the truths that God is teaching you. Honor the work of providence where God is specifically leading you and guiding you and teaching you in specific areas. Honor the lessons of the Holy Spirit and record them and write them down so you can affirm these things, so you can deepen your connection every morning with the Lord. Affirmation, reflection, and then hang on to your seat. Because when you have affirmed these things and you reflect upon them, that's when you can expect to experience the transformation. And the transformation is when you get through this, all this abiding and the cleanliness that you have from the Word which is spoken to you. Abide, that's verse 3, abide in me or connect with me and I will connect with you. As you can't do this by yourself, so you're connecting to God's truth. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You've dealt with the temptation to do nothing, to be autonomous, to do it on your own. Then verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and are thrown into the fire and they are burned. So we know that this is a serious warning, right? Verse 7 comes in then, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So I'm connecting with God. God is connecting with me. then that is the transformation that takes place when you pray. So prayer, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So now you take these truths into transformative prayer, and you pray in faith the truths that God is showing you and guiding you and going to keep your heart with, and you affirm them in your prayer. You go right to the heart of God, and God will go right to your heart. And so if your heart is connecting to the heart of God, and you're affirming that, and you're praying with that, and you're praying that, well, that's how you advance the kingdom of God in your life. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So you're affirming these things, and there's this prayer that arises, ask, and it will be given to you. Ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. That's how you fulfill your purpose, to know God. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This is the promise that comes, that when you ask God and you know God's will, you have God's will. When you seek God's will for God's glory, this is not for our own glory. You know, much of our own prayer can be for our own glory, right? When you work through this, you're saying, no, this is for the glory of God. By this is my Father glorified. So we want to bring God glory. We want to see His fame spread. We want to acknowledge His power, His kingdom, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By this my Father is glorified, and that you bear the fruit that God has for you. The fruit that will be organically produced supernaturally as you simply abide in Him. You don't have to focus on the fruit. You focus on God. God will produce the fruit in you and through you as you focus on Him and remain connected with Him, and don't disconnect your heart from Him, but abide in Him, remain in Him, and He will be glorified in you, and you will show yourself to be His disciple. This is the transformation that God has for you. This is how you know your divine purpose. What could be more important than that in this coming year? Furthermore, when it says that by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples, it involves you individually. But He's talking to His church. He's talking to His people. This is something that you all do. This is something that we do. So this is something I have responsibility to do for myself, but so do you. And as you do it, and as we do it together, we become His disciples. So we're not meant to do this alone. This is something we do as a community. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So the result of connecting with God is accomplishing God's purpose in you, and that you would experience the fullness of His joy, the fullness of His presence, the fullness of His joy in your life. And that's going to keep you abiding in Him, affirming His love, driving out the shame, driving out the guilt, driving out the worthlessness, driving out the vanities, driving out the lusts and the lies. God will remove them as you abide in Him. He will create in you a heart of obedience that will enable you, empower you to keep His commandments as you abide in His love, because His law is love and His love is light. And as you enter into His light and you remain in that light, He'll do the work that only the light can do in you, and that will produce in you the radiance, the fullness of his joy. Each day, every day, God is calling you to abide in him and stay there all day throughout the day. The daily connect. However, if you're like me, you have some issues that will take a little longer to connect with God. So what is really helpful for me is, along with the daily connect, which you want to do that in the morning and in the evening, and then throughout the day as needed. Enough to connect with God all day long and stay connected. Don't you dare disconnect from God, right? You know what happens. But sometimes there's some bigger issues that need more attention than just that time in the morning or in the evening or maybe a time set aside throughout the day. So that's, for me, I have a weekly time, a day that I set aside to spend more time with the Lord, where I may have several hours just to get away, pray fast, get away alone with the Lord, and spend some time working through these issues. May take several hours, may take a day, depending on, you know, what you've got going on. So that these are important. That's the Psalm 46, right? Though the mountains be cast into the sea, my whole world is falling apart. There's some times that are just, things go upside down and topsy-turvy. And I need to be still and know that he is God. I will be exalted among the earth. I need that time to reflect, that weekly time, that monthly time. Oh God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? Why can't you hear my words? Psalm 22. You know, there's times in life that are just really hard, aren't they? There's deep grief. There's deep trial. There's loss. There's death. There's things just really not going the way I thought they would. There's Psalm 22 moments or seasons. So you may have to get away for a day or two and reflect and agonize and wrestle and delight yourself in the Lord. That's what a connection does. It keeps connecting. It keeps seeking the Lord. It keeps responding to his grace. So there's a day, you got to do it every day. I suggest once a week. There's a pattern of a once a week. The first day of the week, we gather the first day of the week to worship the Lord. Right? There's a time for that. There's a time to really abide in him. There's a monthly time. That's 12 times a year. And then there's the yearly, which you reflect upon the year. Where am I going? Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that I may have a heart of wisdom. What did I learn in this year? What am I learning what am I anticipating in the coming year? Kind of open my sermon up with how I'm reflecting upon that now. So these are very important. The most important. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. So how many would say, yeah, I want to be connected with God this year. This is going to be my priority. Amen. Let's make this our connection. And this is our hearts together as a church family and as individuals connecting our lives to God. As we connect to God, it's imperative that you don't just leave that connection in your heart. I mean, if it's in your heart, I'll go with you everywhere you go. That's the good thing about your heart connection. But you got to bring it home. You got to bring that home. God has a divine purpose for your family, that he will be glorified in growing his fruit in your family. Jesus is Lord of all. So for far too long, it's too easy to connect with God and then what? Not bring that home. That connection with God needs to be brought home. That is, getting God's word in your heart and taking that word to the specific areas in your family where they are needed most. So I would encourage you to do the same thing as you go through your daily connect and your weekly connect. What is God teaching you in your family? What affirmations do you need to make? What truths do you need? Pay attention to what needs to be transformed and go to God in prayer for your family. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you are a son or a daughter, how are your relationships with God and your parents? Is that relationship characterized by you showing honor and love to your parents? I mean, that one comes with a promise, that it may be well with you, right? So that's a good place to ask God to really pray about these things. How about a husband, a father? Is God's word in your heart? Are you leading your family? Are you loving your family? Are you loving your wife? Is there bitterness in your heart? Are you willingly accepting the relationships and the responsibility God has given to you as a husband, as a father? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Are you growing more in love with your wife, sacrificing yourself, your time, your talents, leading and loving? Family worship, bringing the family together to worship the Lord. The discipleship process, focusing on the heart issues, the gospel issues, service and love. Men, are you shepherding your family in the power and strength of Jesus Christ? Or are you disconnected, doing nothing? This is ministry. It's going to be something. 2024 is going to be something. Man, look at these men shepherding their families like Jesus, right? It's either going to be something or it's going to be nothing. Build on the daily connect. Take this connection with God. Ask God's will to be done in your family. Husbands, children, young people, old people, wives, mothers. Are you content with what God has given you? Are you content with the family God has for you? Are you content with the husband God has for you? Well, I don't have a husband. Then you're not a wife. All these things come from prayer. All these things flow from the Spirit of God, being in the Word of God. Maybe you have an issue with contentment or with submission. Or maybe it's just you're pouring into these children and the children just are not thankful. And you pour your life out. You've given your life to these children and they just kind of like are not that interested in you. They could care less about you. They think you're not all that. Right? That happens, doesn't it? That happens in our circles. What are you going to do with that? Affirm God's blessing. Affirm God's will. Man, we need some mighty women of God to call heaven's blessing on earth this year. Like, to call heaven's blessing on earth, to remove the discontentment from your heart, and to abide in Christ, and to have the overflow of His ministry be the source and strength of your ministry to your family. Give, and it will be given to you. Shake down, press down. You don't know. Keep casting your seed upon the water. Don't grow weary in doing good, for you will reap if you, what? If you faint not. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hell coming against us, coming against you, coming against the church, coming against the Christian home, coming against the Christian marriage, right? There's a lot of hell coming against us. We've seen too many people fall away, fall apart, and fall not just into disillusionment, but in all kind of stuff. Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues of life. Live out this gospel. Remove false expectations. Live in the light of reality. Love the real people that are really in your life. No one's perfect. Love your wife. Love your spouse. Love your children. Teach, train, honor, give, forgive, delight in. sacrifice for, the sweet aroma of Christ. It's not in what you, it's your reactions that show the most. So react in Christ. I mean, you can't fake that, can you? Either you got it or you don't. Either you're actually connecting and a true Christian, or you're gonna fake it and it's gonna be exposed. Cling to Christ. Humble yourself. Abide in Him. God has a great purpose for the family, and that is our families would be worship centers of the Lord Jesus Christ. For He established a law in Jacob, that He appointed a testimony in Israel, Psalm 78, that one generation would praise the Lord and they would tell the next generation that they would set their hope in God, they would not forget His commandments. Set your hope in God. Fathers have a role. Mothers have a role. The next generation has a role. We all have a role to be responsible in this, to proclaim the glories of Christ and to share forth His grace and His mercy. Connecting with your heart to God, bringing that connection to your family, and then walking out that connection in the church of Jesus Christ. This is Christ's community, the church. God has a plan and a purpose for the church. Jesus died for His church, didn't He? Back to John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. This thing I commanded you, that you love one another. Jesus dies for His church. He calls His church, come here, I'm going to give you the inside scoop. You are my friends. I lay down my life for my friends. And I give you the inside scoop. I chose you. You're here not because you chose. You're here because God chose you. Before the foundation of the world, the Father chose a bride. The Son died for that bride. And He died for that bride so that He could offer that bride to His Father. Ephesians 5, just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify her and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy, without blemish. The Son sought after a bride. We are a part of that bride. A church here. There's many churches in the world. We are part of that bride. Jesus came and He sought us to cleanse us and to renew us and to sanctify so we would be given to the Father. A bride, a pure bride. To bring us to God. This is the divine purpose of the community of the church. Jesus is sanctifying His church. He's sanctifying us. And He sanctifies us by giving Himself for us so that we could be brought in relationship to Him. That's why He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." So the characteristic of His love is to be our heart. And as the church is commanded to love one another, Jesus says in chapter 15, 18, that the world is going to hate you. So as this pure bride is being purified by Christ and is taught to love, there are going to be those who hate the bride. There are going to be those in the world who are not going to get this love thing. They're not going to be interested in loving each other, okay? They're not gonna do that. And sometimes they're in the church and they have to be weeded out because they get offended. They're not interested. And sometimes they're in the world and they're not gonna be interested because they're in the world. In America, we have freedom, so anybody can walk in here and be part of this and say, "I believe in Jesus," right? It's not that hard to do that in America. We're not persecuted yet. However, we are hated as we take God's word, live a holy life, and love others. Right? That is not a worldly value. Humility is not a worldly value system. Okay, faith is not a worldly value. So Jesus talks about this hatred that the world has in verses 18 to the end. So just know that as you practice this, you're going to have to go through some things. But as you go through these things, and I want to use this acronym of life, you will experience the life of Christ. What is the distinguishing characteristic of Christ's church? What is the distinguishing characteristic of Christ's community? You know, there's a lot of communities that gather together, aren't there? There's people that gather together to do all kinds of things in the name of community. People get together and play bingo. People get together and ride ATVs. People get together and do horses, do sports, do all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of communities, right? What is the unique thing about the church? When we gather together as people who have been given life. We share the life of Christ. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, you he made alive. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 5. You who are dead in trespasses and sins, he made you alive with Christ. So as we gather together, we share the life of Christ. That's the unique thing about the body of Christ. That's the unique thing about the church. It's the life of Christ. That is what makes the community unique. That is what makes this community and all true biblical churches unique. They share Christ together. They share Christ. Ephesians 2, 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For none of us live to himself, and no one dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And to this end, Christ died and rose again, that we might be of the Lord, both the dead and the living. So we don't live for ourselves. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to celebrate the life of Christ. I come and gather with you. Why? Because my Lord rose again on the first day of the week. So where I want to be on the first day of the week is with the saints that believe that. With the saints that have experienced that. With the saints that say, yeah, I was dead. Now I'm alive in Christ. And we gather and we celebrate his life. Actually, his life becomes our life. What animates us? What empowers us? His life becomes our life. Our main confession is, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I gather now here and celebrate life. Resurrected life. Life. Next is identity. L-I-F-E. Life. His life. His identity. We are defined not by ourselves. We are defined not by the world. We are defined not by the naysayers. We are not defined by the gossips. We are not defined by the slanderers. We are not defined by the world. Who are we defined by? Christ! Our identity is in him. What he says we are, that's what we are. And I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. It's not me who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. So I am identified, my identity, our identity is defined by Christ, by his word, and that's what defines the church, amen? And all the gates of hell are always trying to fight that and remove that and diminish that and change that and rub it in the dirt and say, you're no good, you're just a bunch of whatever, and the devil is just a slanderer, and the slander will continue in 2024. It's going to continue, right? But that slander holds nothing against the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God knows how to deal with a slander. Let not a slander be established in the earth. What defines you and me is the word of God. What we need to do is to find our identity in him so that it's his life in us, his identity, renewing the mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2, L-I-F, his fellowship. His fellowship, Christ is the center. Christ is what binds us together. Christ is our koinonia. What binds us together is Christ. His doctrine, His love, His person, His word, His spirit. So as we abide in Christ individually, we come together now, we encourage one another. Hey, how are you doing in your abiding life? How are you doing in your connection with God? There's koinonia. That's fellowship. How are you doing? What has the Lord been teaching you? How are you progressing in your sanctification? That's fellowship. And to draw the F out, fellowship means function. So we fellowship in our heart around Christ. That is what determines our functionality. So when our fellowship is in Christ, meaning what brings us together is Christ. Now we may have all kind of different likes and dislikes. We may have all kind of different diets and idiosyncrasies and gifts and abilities and financial situations and all kind of different stuff, right? But what unites us together? Christ. And that determines how we function. Because we function in Christ, our spiritual gifts empower us in Christ to do what Christ has called us to do, to edify one another. The whole purpose of fellowship, 1 Corinthians 14, is to edify the saints. Paul says, I have authority to edify. It's to build one another up in their most holy faith. So God gives a diversity of gifts so that we can edify each other. So in this fellowship, there is a diversity of gifts. And you know what? Every one of your gifts is needed. Every one of your gifts is needed. Whether you're 10 or 50, every one of your gifts is needed. And as you learn of Christ, as you fellowship in Christ, as you have his life, his identity, his fellowship, his love, you see the opportunities that he has to use your gifts to edify another, to help another in real life, in real time. That's what the koinonia does. As we have his life, as we have his identity, and as we have his fellowship, we follow his example. His example is paramount. His word is paramount. So what does it mean to be a New Testament church? It means to love one another like God loved us through Christ. His love is our example. We want to show hospitality because he was hospitable to us. We want to accept one another because we are accepted in him. We want to suffer together. We want to face rejection. Did Jesus have to face rejection? Did Jesus have to face rejection? Did Jesus have to face rejection by his followers? Okay, he's our example. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to have to do the same thing because we are going to live as Christ. So Christ had to experience that. So guess what? So will we. So don't be surprised when you face rejection. Okay, it's going to happen. It's going to be rejection from the world, and it's going to be rejection even from other followers. I mean, that's part of living in a sin-cursed world for all kinds of reasons, and some of them God only knows, right? But can we trust God for that? Can we forgive? Can we love? That's how God deepens our faith and grows our convictions. He is our example. So, we love like him. He is our life. He is our identity. He is our fellowship. He is our example. Now, wouldn't it be something if that is our ministry in 2024? That would be something, wouldn't it? Abide in him, and you will do the works that he has for you. For without me, you can do nothing. We talked about your heart. We talked about your family. And we talked about Christ's church. There's something else we need to talk about, and that's God's mission. God has a mission for the church, and that's to go into all the world and make disciples. Talk about evangelism and discipleship. Preaching the gospel, making disciples. This is the mission of the church. So each person has the responsibility to evangelize. Each one, reach one. With your gifts and abilities, as you have opportunities, take the gospel, share the gospel, share tracts, share the word with those you come in contact with. Okay? Each of us have a responsibility to go make disciples of all the nations, to teach them the gospel. When they believe, they are brought in, baptized, and they are taught to observe all things that I've commanded. So what does that look like here? How are we going to do that? Well, we do have a structure, right? We gather on the first day of the week. We set aside the Lord's Day for worship. We have a fellowship meal. We have time where we connect as a body, right? So as God grows his church, we want to have eyes to see those who are hurting to come in and share the gospel with them and disciple them. So the Lord's Day worship is a big part of that, right? It's a big part of that. We have a Worldview Wednesday. We have a worldview training on Wednesday where I'm walking through the whole Bible, walking through theology, stuff like that. So there's some things that are set. And we have small groups. Many of you are involved in various small groups. We have counseling. We need to revive the practice of hospitality, bringing back the hospitality, where we're sharing hospitality with one another. All these things are essential. I want to do a better job in evangelism in 2024. So one thing I'm doing, I'm setting aside several Saturdays on the Church Community Builder. I put which days are available. I'll be here at 10 o'clock. We'll be here for a few hours. We'll go to have a time here of prayer, some little evangelism training, and then we'll go out and we'll go door to door and share the gospel with our neighbors with the goal of sharing Christ and trying to start Bible studies with other families. So there's a Saturday morning application, 10 to 1. So you can look on the Church Community Builder and you can see the schedule as I make myself available to do that with you, to help get that ball rolling, practical application. But there's all this is part of preaching the gospel and making disciples. So would you pray about these things? See, it all goes back to your relationship with Christ in the daily connect. As you connect with him, as he abides with you, he'll show you, he'll lead you, he'll guide you. He'll take this into your family. He'll flush this out in the church. You'll be able to see, oh, I have a gift here. I can meet that person's need. There's the use of your spiritual gifts. And when you start ministering to people, there is an unending amount of spiritual needs that there are, and a need for the spiritual gifts to meet those needs in the life of this community and in the church at Broad. And you add to that the lost. Now you have a life of ministry. And this is what God has called us to. Finally, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Everything exists for God's glory. You understand that? We are here for God's glory. My question for you is, as you think of 2024, are you going to do something? Is it going to be a something year? Is it going to be a year where you look back, Lord willing, and say, wow, God, praise God, look what you did through me. Will you abide in him? Your heart connected to him? Will you walk his will out in your home? Will you function according to the life of Christ in his body, the community, the local church? Will you participate in his mission? And you take all scripture to all life. That would be something. And that is my prayer. Or you can say, well, I'm not sure. And Jesus already said what's going to happen. Well, without me, you'll do nothing. You'll wither away. You'll be rebuked, refined, reproved, and die. And unfortunately, that will be the experience of some too, because not everybody has faith. But for you, for us, I pray that this would be our experience this year, 2024. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you for the scriptures that are so sufficient, so clear, so powerful in directing us to what we need to do to work with you, in you, through you. to advance your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so that we can know the truth, and that that truth can set us free from a life of vanity and folly. So this is our prayer. This is my prayer. I pray that 2024 would be a year of ministry, of blessing, of hearts connected to God through the gospel, of family fruitfulness and faithfulness, of church growth that is of Christ, in Christ, through Christ, the life of Christ, the identity of Christ, the fellowship in Christ, and following our example in the Lord Jesus. That you'd help us accomplish the Great Commission, that you would bring the lost, that we would go to the lost, and that you'd give us wisdom to convict and to share. Father, in all our ways, acknowledging you, and you would direct our paths. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to speak these things and to give this message. I just pray now for faith to believe it, that we would walk it out, and that you would receive the glory due your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.